Thank you, Abby. She's probably out of here. Don't you love it when our young people get involved, huh? Yes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell everybody this morning that I love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm not ashamed to tell anyone that, publicly, in church or out of church. Doesn't bother me one bit. I love the Lord with all my heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're a Christian?
Yes.
I got a little bit more noise. Are you glad you're a Christian?
Yes.
Yeah, you watching by Facebook? If you're a Christian, you can shout with us. And if you're not, the reason we're excited, because Jesus died on a cross.
Amen.
For our sins.
Right.
He paid the ultimate price.
Right.
And he just simply says, come on to me, whosoever will, and he'll nowise cast you out. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
What an awesome God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your presence here. Lord, we just ask that your anointing be upon this congregation this morning, as it is upon your word, Father, and guide me as I give a message this morning, Father, that it will glorify you and also challenge the people, Father. In these days that we live, this hour that we live in the land of lawlessness and things going on, Lord, we need you desperately. And Father, I pray, Father, you continue to raise up men and women that will share the good news of Jesus Christ to a dying world. That should be a Christian's legacy, that when we're gone, Father, that we witnessed, we shared our faith. Not just to be nice and kind and wonderful people, but to be people who will share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. I pray that you put that in our hearts. Give us Holy Ghost boldness to stand for truth in this hour that we live in. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I made it this far. Praise the Lord. So my message this morning is false prophets on the increase. False prophets on the increase. I've had a few people mention it to me and already thought about it anyway, but it kind of confirmed that maybe I should touch on it anyway. It's a huge subject. But I'm going to touch on it this morning because we are in a time where many people are being deceived by false prophets. Maybe even you have sometimes had someone speak over you in the name of the Lord and say it was God who said this, told you this, and whatever, and it never came to pass. Always be careful of that. Praise the Lord. I didn't lose anybody yet, right? Okay. Hallelujah. So anyway, I want to read you just a short story to introduce it to you here. And it's title is, Would You Hire This Man? A member of the pulpit committee at a certain church was tired of the process of trying to choose a new minister. No matter who applied, the committee found some reason to find the candidate unworthy. He read the following letter to the committee from a prospective preacher. Dear First Church, I've received information that you're looking for a preacher. Thank you for reviewing my qualifications to preach for your congregation. I have considerable education and experience as a preacher. Although I move around a lot, I do have considerable skills which allow me to work outside of the church to support the ministry. I must admit that I've never preached in a congregation more than 3 years, and that sometimes my preaching has caused contention and strife in the town in which I preached. I even have a prison record because of my preaching, primarily due to the riots that started. I am, however, a published author. One of the committee members jumped to his feet and loudly asked, "Who in the world would send such a letter of application to a church?" The committee member who read the letter replied, "The one is signed the Apostle Paul." Hallelujah. Why are false prophets on the increase? What's behind the rise of a false teachers? But I want to mention this too before I get into it, is that any church and every church, wherever there's people, there's sinners.
That's right.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to say this so I don't forget it. Let's never walk into a church thinking we've arrived and we're holy and better than somebody else. And let's never walk into a church and point fingers at people who may have not grown in their walk with the Lord yet, that God is still working on. We should never do that. We should let the Holy Spirit do the work as the word is given forth, and as prayers are lifted up and as fellowship comes together as a congregation, we pray one for another. Amen?
Amen.
We have weaker brothers and sisters in the body as well as strong ones. The stronger ones are to encourage the weaker ones. Some people are never ever going maybe to be on your level, my level, whatever, or maybe us not on theirs. But if that is the case, we still use compassion and patience and forgiveness. We don't point fingers and say, now, if somebody comes in here and tries to promote ungodliness in a church, that's my responsibility to go to that person and correct it, because that won't happen. If people are living in habitual sin and they're rebellious about it, then that needs to be addressed from the leadership. But I want to encourage people, and I'm not saying that's done here. I'm bringing it up as a thought, that we need to be careful that if we are going to be a loving church, that we are a church that accepts people in, and if they got certain things in their life, we pray for them, and we pray that the Word of God will begin to change them. Because I tell you what, I've seen people come in pretty rough in the churches. I know when I was when I was 21, when I got saved, my wife and I had church just like this one. We had this long-haired dude come in there, hippie dude from our generation, and he was rough. But I tell you what, some of the older ladies, sad to say, started pointing fingers.
Yeah. He shouldn't wear his hair long. He shouldn't be dressed like that.
You know something? And the guy gave his life to the Lord. He's a brand new Christian.
Amen.
I like the dude. We got along. And I kept encouraging him in the thing, even though I was a new Christian. I kept encouraging him. And you know, within a year, he comes into church. His hair is all groomed really nice. Nice looking guy. Nice mustache, wore kind of a nice hat when he came in, dressed really nice and everything. And I looked what the Holy Spirit did. And that's what we got to think about. Let God clean us up. We don't clean each other's up. I don't clean anybody up. I preach against sin because I don't condone sin, but I don't clean the people up. God does that. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to remember that all the time, that we are sinners saved by grace, that once we were the same thing. Paul said, we're not you at one time. And we need to remember that so that we keep our hearts tender toward lost people when they come in, or they may not look just the way we think they should. Because we want the Lord to do work in their lives as well as ours. Because that's what happened to me. I grew when I got saved. Every time I come to church, I grew more. I didn't come into church a mature Christian. God had to do a work in me. And He's doing work in some of you here yet today too. Praise the Lord. You're still with me now.
Amen.
I didn't see a lot of smiles, but I tell you what, I'm giving you truth. And it's a serious thing sometimes in the hour we live, because I believe we're going to enter a time where we may see people in churches just like this one, remnant churches throughout this nation, where the Holy Spirit is going to start bringing people in off the streets. And they're just going to walk in and they're going to sit in chairs and pews within churches. And we need to be a mature enough church to be able to receive that when it happens. Because when it happens, I believe it's going to happen suddenly. I believe world events are going to dictate that. And we need to be a church prepared and ready when it does happen. And I'm excited, because I want to see the lost saved. Amen?
Amen.
So, why are false prophets on their increase? What's behind this rise of false teachers? There may even be some here this morning. Here this morning, following false teachers and prophets.
That's right.
There may be somebody in this room today that right now you're following a false teacher and a false prophet. And you know, from my experience, speaking out against when I find out somebody is a false prophet, a fact, not just hearsay, but knowing it myself and addressing it to somebody who's following that person, you get attacked. They don't care what this says. They care about the teacher. And many times false teachers will come into churches just like this one, and they're coming in thick and heavy. If not into the building, through media. And literally, they're coming in thick. To start with, Jesus himself said in the last days. Do you believe we're in the last days?
Yes.
We're in the last days. It says in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many. Remember that other scripture? Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many therefore go into. Well, isn't it interesting? Matthew said, not a few, but he said many. That's scary. That many, and that the case today. This prophecy has been abundantly fulfilled more than ever in the recent years in our world. Because we are in the last days. Jesus warned us himself. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he starts out, beware. Now that beware is the first time beware is used in the New Testament here, but here Jesus used it. He said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Jesus said that. Well, that isn't very nice to Jesus, is it? Well, Jesus knows, because he knows what they're doing to the sheep. They are ravenous. They're hungry wolves searching for prey who are eager to fleece the flock. How do they do that? How do they fleece the flock? Well, they do it by selling books and prophecies, end times, dreams, and visions. They fleece the flock by selling millions of books of Bible study books, DVDs, prophetic Bible versions, a plea to send them seed of faith so that you will be blessed. Instead of calling them prophets, we should be calling them prophets of profit. That's what we should be calling them. They're making millions. Many of them are. And they're feeding off churches and the flock. Because, like I said, even in churches like this, some of you may right now be following a false prophet or a false teacher because you haven't done the research on the background of that person and what they're truly teaching. I just listened to two nights ago, on TV, a well-known pastor in a huge church that got on there, which I think he's a false teacher. And he was preaching on a message on Joseph in the Bible, the dreams of Joseph. Remember the story? Joseph had a dream and all this, and the butcher and the baker and all through that, too long to go through. But he was preaching on that for about 15 minutes. And then he segued away from that, and for the next 30 minutes, he preached something else. He said, God just told me that there's about 1,000 of people watching right now that are supposed to send in $300 in order to have their dreams fulfilled. Very big church, wealthy church. Did God tell him that? Does God expect us to send $1,000 to a preacher in order for God to be able to fulfill our dreams? But you know something? They showed that call-in center in that church while he was speaking, and he spoke for 30 minutes. He just over and over and over was more important than the message. And those people, whether doing it real or not, but they were picking up phones, taking phone lines, and the people in the church were clapping when he was doing it. They're following the guy. I don't believe for a second that God spoke to him for 1,000 people to send in $300 in order for God to fulfill their dreams. And we need to be aware of that stuff. The Apostle Peter warned the church. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there are false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable, which means destructive, heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Satan sends false prophets and teachers into churches. Satan does that to deceive and to bring confusion. Pretty soon we hear so many different things from these false prophets and teachers, people get confused. What's for real and what isn't? But they come in and they mix and blend within the church. And people become confused. They believe this, they believe that, rather than sticking to what does this say. And we need to be so careful. False teaching in the name of Jesus is rampant today as never before, ranging from subtle heresies, the flagrant denial of his divine and human nature. We always need to remember that Jesus paid the ultimate price in his own blood for our salvation. There's no other way. It's through the cross. It's through Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. No matter what some false prophets and teachers are trying to bring in other ways, it's not of God. However, he will allow them to bring upon themselves their ruin and destruction. He will allow it. Because did you know that people are deceived on purpose? And people actually choose to be deceived?
Right.
And that's sad, but it's really true. Listen how concerned Peter was by stressing that not a few, but many. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Boy, Jesus had it all together, didn't he? He knew through his prophets what he was doing. The Apostle John quickly notes how we can discern truth from error. He wrote, whosoever transgresses, that word transgress there means goes beyond. Those who are adding and subtracting to the word of God. They're putting their own views and ways differently than what the scriptures teach. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that means Jesus' teaching, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If it doesn't line up with this, that person is teaching or prophesying is not of God. They don't have God in their life.
Amen.
They don't. And we need to be aware of that. It's happening. And that's why I wanted to speak on it, because even people in the church, many are being deceived within the church. Not that I'm Mr. going to make sure everything's okay, because I can never do that, because God knows your personal hearts and what you're after and what you're listening to and who you're listening to also and who comes into your life, whether here or privately, through your television, your internet, whatever. If there's no mention of repentance, if there's no mention of confession of sin or striving for holiness, they are not continuing in the teaching of God. And I don't know about you, but I've listened to some of these false prophets on the internet, and many of them are constantly telling the people, God is going to give your money all back. He's going to return it all back. We're going to have peace. God's going to bring America out of this, and we're all going to get along, and everything's going to be just wonderful. You're going to be healed. Everybody's going to be healed. Everybody who names the name of Jesus is going to be healed. God's going to bless your life. God's going to bless your job. God's going to do this. God's going to do that. But there's never, ever a warning of sin that will bring destruction to our lives. Because the people want to hear what's blessed. Because if you read the comments, they're all saying, wow, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Oh, I needed to hear that today. Well, many Christians, including myself, we need to continually be aware that sin will destroy our lives and our loved ones who don't know Jesus.
Right.
False prophets are all over and they're telling the wrong thing. The Apostle Paul, he himself experienced false teachers. In 2 Corinthians 11:5, he said, the chiefest apostles, they were all around him too, you know, and another translation calls them super apostles. But the Apostle Paul experienced that too. Scripture warns of false Christ, false prophets, false teachers, and now false apostles. Paul wrote, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is so great a thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. Paul warned us. It was such false angels of light showing the people. Do you know how a lot of cults got started? By men seeing angels of light. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Muhammad, all had experience with angels of light. Don't put your trust in so-called ministers of righteousness that appear to work miracles. These in themselves prove nothing. A miracle does not prove anything. It does not. Matthew 7:21 says, this is how you test whether they're of God or not. He that doeth the will of the Father. That's how you test them. Is that scriptural what that person just said? Is that scriptural what they just did? Because Satan can duplicate miracles in some ways. And that's how many will be deceived in the last days too. And these false prophets and apostles and teachers will seem like it's coming right from God, and it isn't. It's got to line up with the Word of God. Jeremiah the prophet, he saw hundreds of false prophets during his time, in his day, and was utterly grieved by it. And so should we. We should be grieved by so many false prophets. We need to speak out against them. He wrote in Jeremiah chapter 5, 30-31, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? And I'm watching that today, and I'm seeing how many people profess the name of Jesus Christ, and they love what these false prophets are telling them. And anybody that speaks up against them, those Christians will come against another Christian who says that's not of God. It's not in the Word. What are you listening to? And they'll be so angry. I've been hit by some of them. It's incredible. They're more interested in the prophet than they are in God, in what His Word says. Because we like them. They're nice people. They're kind. They preach the Word of God. Anybody can put Jesus in a sermon. That doesn't make him a Christian. And we need to be aware that people, we're being confronted with false prophets quite a bit on social media, on television, from people that you never thought they were. But when you go into their background, do literal checks, factual checks from their own mouth, then you know they're false. And that's what I do. I listen to them, I find them, and I listen to their sermons, and I listen to what they're saying. And many people are sitting in pews with thousands of people in churches that are being deceived, and they don't even know it, and they don't even care, because that pastor, he's a wonderful dude. He's really smart. He's charismatic. They don't understand what he's telling them, because it's all about cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. How do I fill the church? I know how to empty one. That's why the mega churches don't invite me in. Notice the people, they loved it. They loved to have it so when hearing the prophets' good news. Good news, these prophets give us good news. They didn't want to hear about the need to repent and return to God, or face captivity, or face the coming judgment of God. They wanted good news. But you know something? We need to hear about repentance. Yes. We need to hear that we need to get right with God, because He's coming back. Yes. And you know something? How many know that God is love? Yes. But how many know that God is holy? We need to be warned continually, because we're leaky vessels. We have a tendency to go another direction. Many people depend. Well, one preacher says your best days are ahead. Are they? You know, we can be real nice and sweetsy and goody-two-shoe type people, but that doesn't make us a Christian. I know people that aren't even Christians that are the sweetest people in the world, sweeter than some Christians I know. But they're not going to heaven because they're not born again. Until they get born again, that's the only way to heaven.
That's right.
And they need to be warned, not be telling them how wonderful they are. I've had people that I've witnessed to like that and shared my faith with, and they get mad at me. And I tell them, hey, I didn't write it. Jesus did, because he came and he died on the cross.
Yes.
He said that none are righteous, no, not one. Our goodness, our righteousness is but a stench in his nostrils. That's why everything that you and I do as Christians, we do in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because it's his righteousness that gets us to heaven. Nothing I do, you do. Straight talk, right?
Amen.
But this is sadly an ironic indictment of both the people and their religious leaders. It is true today, as it was in biblical times, that people generally get what they deserve in the way of leaders. Both religious and political.
Amen.
We get what we deserve, and we're watching it happen in Bible times, and we're watching it happen in the hour that we're living right now. Churches are filled with the leaders that the people want, and our political system is having leaders put in that they want. Jeremiah 5:30 again says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Sounds so wonderful, but it's horrible. It's destroying lives. Jeremiah 23:16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. That's why I say, be careful when somebody speaks something into your life and they say they're a prophet or a prophetess. Be careful what they're saying. Because many times it's only what you want to hear. But they won't tell you the truth. How many times have somebody had a prophet walk up to them and lay hands and prophesy and told them, you need to repent or you're going to die. You wouldn't like that guy. Get away from me. I like the one that says, oh, the money's going to be flowing. Everything you touch is going to turn to gold. Even your gooses are going to lay golden eggs. I'm not going to read it now, but I want to put it in there if you want to write it down or remember this. Read Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. There's a lot there, but I don't want to take time to go through the whole thing this morning. It talks about the false teachings and prophets. They wanted to hear soothing things, it says. Pleasing things. That's what the people wanted to hear. They loved to have it so, but not so with the true prophets of God. They didn't want to hear them. How do I know that? Look what true prophets of God experience in Scripture. True ones. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. That was real prophets. Not today. They're on TV and they're making millions of dollars. They're getting invited to all kinds of conferences, speaking because they have a prophetic word, but it doesn't line up with the word of God. But they're selling their books, their DVDs. They're taking offerings and getting thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that's not true prophets. True prophets speak the word of God and they warn of sin.
Amen.
It's in the word. I didn't make it up. Every prophet spoke and warned people of coming judgment and sin in the word of God, not the type of prophets we're hearing today. Elijah, remember Elijah? He had faced some similar odds when trying to show Israel who are really true prophets. It's sometimes called the showdown at Carmel. Because Elijah was a true prophet of God. One prophet. Do you know how many prophets the Bible says that he faced down? False prophets? 450. Out of all the prophets, he was the only true prophet, and the rest were 450 false prophets of Baal that Elijah stood against. But the people loved those 450 because they were praising and worshiping the devil, basically. I thought this interesting when you read that, too. Have you ever noticed that in the biblical accounts, the majority was almost always wrong? Always the majority. Jesus said, few be there to find it, the narrow gate. Few. It's the majority that seems like they're always wrong. That's why don't follow the crowd. Be careful when there's a big crowd. Be careful in this day when they say, revival, revival, revival. I want revival too, but I want a revival that comes from God, not a man-made revival. But many, many go to a revival. I saw one in California that had 3,000 people showing up to get baptized. They say, we got revival. That's not revival. That's not revival, 3,000 people getting baptized. Revival is when 3,000 people come before an altar and bow before God and repent of their sin and cry out to God. And a move of God begins to happen and cities shut down, police stations shut down because there's no more sin. Not people getting baptized. Anybody can get baptized. Anybody. But you should be born again if you're baptized. But people follow the crowd. And so right away they want to make claims. And that's false. That's very false. Listen to the qualifications of a true prophet of God in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 and 22. And by the way, another great chapter to read in the Bible is 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 through 46. Read that one too about false prophets. They're very relevant for today. Nothing's changed. It's for today too. But here's Deuteronomy chapter 18. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? When a prophet speaks to the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. There's prophets on social media right now that are warning people, don't touch God's anointed. And that's true, but God's anointed. But they don't want people talking about false prophets because that's what they are. I even had one of them try to call me direct. That's the one that told people to go to H-E. Double L if they don't like it. That's a prophet? You'll find that it's one strike and you're out with God. They either spoke for me or they didn't. And many today are not speaking for God. There's one with the initials JG, a woman, who's got a following like you wouldn't believe. And she's had several of her prophecies already fail where she put dates on them and they didn't come to pass and people are making excuses for them. No, she's a false prophet. She's a false prophet, but she's collecting money. She's promoting. And people, when you read about her, the people who support her, thousands, because they want to hear it, because she's such a sweet person. She preaches the word of God. But she never ever preaches on sin, and she never preaches on repentance. I've read several of her prophecies. Yeah. But people love her. My people love it. And that's the hour we're living in, people. We're in the very time Jesus said before he comes back. We're watching it happen. And false prophets are one of the biggest signs that God has given us in the world today. In Jeremiah's day, there were roughly 800 false prophets for every one true prophet during Jeremiah's time. They've always been around because they come out of the woodwork. They're like termites. And you'll find that in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and others talking about it. The shepherds or teachers on Jeremiah's day scattered rather than gathered the sheep. They scattered them. Jeremiah 23:1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. That's coming from God. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. What happens when people, when a prophecy does not come true, when these people are speaking falsehoods into their life? They get discouraged and they begin to doubt God and they walk away from God. It brings confusion, which comes from Satan, the author of confusion. It brings destruction. It brings a lot of things. But it's all these false prophets and teachers and apostles are trying to do is separate you and I from our money. I'd rather not even have to preach on stuff like this, but we need to warn in these last days that things are happening and we need to be aware of it, that we not be led astray. Believe me, Paul knows about preaching the truth. Look what happened to him. He was killed a couple times, stoned, put in prison many times, shipwrecked, you name it. Satan hated that man. Whether in ancient Israel or modern churches are given great responsibility and can therefore earn great rewards if they faithfully feed their flocks on the milk and the meat of God's word, but they will be subject to great judgment if they feed them false doctrine or meaningless platitudes. And that's what we're seeing. Jeremiah 23, verse 9 through 10. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up and their course is evil and their force is not right. These false prophets and teachers and apostles are destroying our nation, destroying churches. But my people love it so. By choice. On Judgment Day, people say, I didn't know, I was deceived. No, God says we're deceived by choice. Do we take the time and read this? Or do we just listen to the false prophets and the teachers and the apostles? This is what will be judged against, the word. I can't stand up there and say, well, Joel Osteen, he was a false prophet. I didn't know it. I just thought he was a great guy because he said my best days are ahead. And I just thought I was going to have some great days, but it's been miserable. God would say, did I say that? Or did Joel Osteen? What did I say? He said, in this world you will have tribulation. Many are the tribulations and trials of the righteous, but my God shall deliver them from them all. That's what it tells me in here. Not people, your best days are ahead. Well, they are for the Christian, if you're born again. If you're born again. See, even the prophet and the priest are ungodly. Jeremiah 23:11. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. That's why I'm warning you today, as a brother in Christ, from the Word of God. They're amongst us. Like I say, you may be following one now and you haven't researched directly into them. If you're a teacher, and I'm going to look at some of the stuff we've been teaching in our church too, and some of the authors, I want to know where they're coming from and what their belief is. These false prophets and strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil, and that's what's happening. You're okay. Church, you're okay. No problems. People living in sin, adultery, fornication, thievery, lying, and doing all kinds of things, sitting in churches because of false prophet, whether from the pulpit or invited in or whatever, are saying, you're okay. Hyper grace. Christians don't have to repent. Jeremiah 23:14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof Gomorrah. That's what false prophets do to a congregation and to a people. You better know who you're studying and following. I follow Jesus. There's authors that I really like. There's really good ones out there. And tell the truth from the Word of God. They're good ones. But I tell you what, there's a lot of bad ones. And they're so subtle, you really got to know the Word of God to understand you're being deceived. How many know what modalism is? Some well-known teachers. And I'm going to address one of them eventually. That are teaching that. That God came to earth and took business into his own hands. I'm paraphrasing it. That God the Father came to earth and died on the cross. That's false teaching. But it's being taught by one very well-known author that I'll eventually be hitting on. And it's dangerous. It's theology that's not correct. True prophets do and petition them to repent before God. That's what true prophets do. They'll speak to people. They'll come in and they'll speak to people and say, God spoke to me and said, repent for their sin amongst us, or whatever they're going to say. But it's God when they bring in repentance and confession and helping us get our lives right with God. As well, the false one said as well. All is well. That's what false ones say. All is well. What does God say about these false prophets? He says in Jeremiah 23:15, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Be careful who's prophesying over your life.
Amen.
If it hasn't come to pass, it's not of God. I've had people do it, speak things over my life. None of them come to pass. Be very careful. Jeremiah 23:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. And it's happening in America. Instead of pointing the people to strive for holiness, they said, it shall be well with you. When the very opposite is true. America is in trouble, people. It's not very well. There's nothing in the Word of God that says God's going to bring America back strong and hard, and finances are going to go back into the righteous bank accounts. Jesus said, in First Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and repent, turn from their wicked ways and call upon him, he will heal the land. I don't hear that from the prophets. I haven't heard one prophet say that. The only place I hear it is from a Bible preaching church, from a pastor who's preaching the word. False prophets are telling people what they want to hear on a personal level as well as on a corporate. And we need to warn each other and be aware of it. Somebody comes into your life or in another church or whatever, and they're speaking things like that. I had one sister, I won't point them out or anything, but talked about automatic writing too. That's another false thing. It's witchcraft. Meditating. Put a pen in your hand. Put it down there and let the Lord. All kinds of junk stuff, people. But there's so many gullible people who are falling into it, even preachers. Instead of, what's God say? Divinations, witchcraft. It's an abomination to them. And these false prophets are involved in it too. New Age, all of it. Beware of false Christ, false prophets, false teachers, false apostles. Today he speaks through the Son of God and through the Word of God. See, don't put your emphasis on prophets, apostles, teachers. Put it on here. You know how the Lord speaks to you and I today? Through here. It's all written out. It's all written out for you and I to be aware of what's going on. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I just listened to another mega pastor this week. His initials are SF. I listened to his actual message. Here's what he was preaching on. He was preaching out of the Matthew, where Jesus said, I cannot do miracles because, remember, he was in his hometown and he could not do many miracles. And he was preaching to the congregation in this charismatic way, walking across the stage and saying, Jesus cannot do certain things. There's things that God cannot do. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And then I got to the story where he was talking about it. And he said, Jesus could not do miracles because of your and my unbelief. He can't do them. There's kind of a hidden truth there. But if you get into Matthew and Mark and study that, that isn't what Jesus was saying, that he could not do it. He could do it. Because did he not open the Red Sea? Do you think everybody was a believer? Look what Moses went through. Look at all the miracles in the Bible that Jesus did when there was unbelief around him. But this preacher was telling people they were bringing Jesus down to our level. There's certain things that Jesus can't do, and he can't do miracles when there's unbelief. That is so untrue. The reason that story, when you get into it and read it out, the reason Jesus could not do miracles is because people weren't coming to him. Because it does say that he did a few miracles, but the others wouldn't come to him. Because why? Because you're just Joseph's son. That's all you are. And they wouldn't even approach him. How can you do a miracle if nobody's going to approach? How can you ask for one? That's what it's talking about, pretty much. Paraphrasing it. But this guy is trying to tell us that God can't do certain things. God can do whatever he wants. He's God. Our puny little unbelief affects us, not God.
That's right.
But false prophets, false teachers, false pastors are mixing people up, confusing people. And the people in the congregation were clapping because they thought he had a new revelation. There's no new revelation there. It's already written in the Word, and it tells us what it says. But these people who are coming out with all these new revelations in this hour of living, be careful of new revelations. There are no new revelations of anything. God may open our eyes spiritually to understand scriptures, which is a revelation, but it's already in here. Everything that God wants you and I to know is in this book.
Yes.
Every bit of it. There's no new revelations. They're all written down. They're in the Bible. We need to be so careful.
Amen.
We must be careful discerning. Discerning truth from error is not so much right versus wrong, but right and almost right. That's how people get deceived, by almost right. You got the good mixed with the false. We need to study and show ourselves approved, not ashamed. Some characteristics, I'm going to finish up with this, some characteristics of false prophets at the end of time includes they will be charismatic and persuasive, able to deceive many with their words and their actions. They will focus on material wealth and prosperity, promising their followers a life of ease and comfort. How many Word of Faith churches, prosperity preaching churches are rising up today? that God wants us wealthy. I just listened to another one, a pastor on a video with he and his wife, and he spoke how we're not to be afraid when our home is increased with wealth. And then he said to his wife, "Honey, look this up and read it to the people." Well, she read it and her face went white because it isn't what he said. The Bible was talking to the ungodly, not to the Christian. It says in there, the ungodly are to fear when your house is increased with goods. He took it totally out of context, and then he took it out of context further to bind Christians and ungodly together. See, God doesn't care whether you're rich or poor. Because he was caught. Because he's got a 7,000 square foot home, and somebody's got to pay the light bill. And it's people who listen to these guys and send in millions of dollars. Prosperity preachers, and we got them in the Twin Cities. God told us not to focus on prosperity. It's deceptive. They will deny the importance of repentance, the cross, and the blood of Christ. How many churches today? Well, I've told you about a few months back where a pastor over in the East Coast said that they do not want to speak on the blood of Christ in their church or the Holy Spirit or sin because people will be offended. False teachers, false prophets. They're coming out of the woodwork. And people are accepting it more and more because they want to hear it. They want to feel good. One pastor, well, Mr. Joel Osteen, because we already know him anyway, it's out in his book, so I'm not hiding anything. But he said on an Oprah Winfrey show, he said, we can't tell people about sin. Their life is hard enough. They got all kinds of problems. Yeah. They don't come to church to hear about sin.
Yeah.
Boy, if that isn't a wolf. Oh.
Yeah.
They will promote a false sense of security and peace, contradicting the warnings of Scripture. They will be anti-Christ, opposing the truth of Jesus Christ and his teachings. To protect yourself from false prophets, remember, test every spirit and prophecy. Test every spirit, according to Scripture in Thessalonians 5, 20 and 21. Hold fast to the Word of God in sound doctrine in 2 Timothy. Be discerning and wise, not following wind of doctrines in Ephesians and in Hebrews. It tells us that. Stay humble and dependent on God, seeking His guidance and truth in Proverbs and John. By being aware of these characteristics and taking steps to protect yourself, you can avoid the deception of false prophets at the end time and remain faithful to the truth of God's word. And that's why I talked on it today. There's a lot more about false prophets in the Scripture. God warns a lot about it. I just don't have the time. The Bible provides insight in the origin of false prophets, warning us about their dangers and how to identify them. But the source of false prophets ultimately goes back to Satan.
Yep.
And you can find that in Matthew and in 1 John. The devil is the ultimate source of false prophets, using them to spread lies and deceive humanity in the hour in which we live. And much deception is in the world today, as well as in the churches. The world, 1 John chapter 4, 2 Timothy, the world system, driven by human pride and rebellion, gives rise to false prophets who cater to human desires and fleshly appetites. The human heart. Mark chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 17. The human heart, prone to sin and self-deception, can produce false prophets who speak from their own imagination and desires, and that's where we're at. We got to be careful of this heart. Even though we're Christians, we still have human hearts.
Right.
And they're deceitfully wicked. Who can know them? And that's why we got to guard our hearts from what we're hearing, what we're looking at. The harm caused by false prophets, emotional manipulation. Followers are often subjected to emotional abuse, leading to anxiety, depression, and even suicide. And I've known some. Financial exploitation. False prophets frequently demand money or assets from their followers, leaving them financially ruined. There's a church in Africa, a very large mega church right now. The pastor, well-known pastor over there, claims he's Jesus. I listened to him. People literally are selling their homes and giving him the assets of everything they own, their finances, everything, because they think he's Jesus. Now, how can a church full of people believe that? Not because of nationality, because it's a man that is claiming to be Jesus. And it isn't just Africa. There's other parts of the world, too, that are doing the same thing right now because they know it brings in the bucks. There's one pastor doing it that claiming to be Jesus, and he's got, I think I was reading, he has 18 sport cars. I tell you, people, I just can't believe how people today in our world can follow false prophets, false teachers, false apostles. How can they do it? Well, I know how they can. Our hearts are desperately wicked, and we want to hear what we want to hear and like because it feels good. Feelings. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Feelings. I think it was on tune, wasn't it? Maybe not. Social isolation. Followers may become disconnected from family and friends, leading to social isolation and loneliness. Happens. Just go to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Spiritual damage. False prophets can lead people away from genuine spiritual growth and connection with the divine. And it does. It stops people from getting into the Word because they want to listen to what the false prophets are telling. So I'll just say this in conclusion. I am not saying that God, the Holy Spirit, is still not illuminating believers with new revelation in the Word when we read it. He still does that because as we grow, the Bible opens up to you and I, and we see something we've never seen before, but it's not new. It's not new to God because it's already in here. Yes. Them. We do background checks for VBS. We want to know who's teaching our children. We need to do background checks for ourselves. If you see a book, you need to find out about that person because they may be leading you astray because it sounds oh so good. I've got some of those books. I did research and found out they're nothing but false prophets. Factual, not hearsay, but when you know it comes right from their mouth, that makes them false. And it doesn't line up with the Word of God. With every head bowed this morning, and I close, I just simply want to ask, is there anybody that came in here this morning that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ? Jesus said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he wants to save the world. That's why he came. He didn't come to condemn anybody. He came into the world to save us. And this morning, if you're here and you've never committed your life to Christ, he wants to save you because he loves you. But your sin will destroy you. And you say, well, I think I'm saved. Well, if you think you're saved, you're totally lost. You either know it or you don't, according to Scripture. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. That means separation from an eternal God for all eternity. You're either heaven or hell. And if you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Christ. I want to know for sure that I would live with this loving God. Just raise up your hand. Is there anybody? There might be. Even in small churches, some people come in, right? Is there anyone? Okay. How many would say with me right now that we really need, you can look at me if you want, that would just say right now, we really need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes in this hour we live. Amen? Yes. We really need the power of God in our lives right now because many are being deceived today within churches. People you thought would never be deceived today in front of us are being deceived by false teachings and false prophets and false apostles, so-called prophets and apostles. We're being deceived. And there's many people outside these walls that once were in church that no longer are because of false prophets. People you thought would never ever backslide away from Christ no longer serve God because something didn't come to pass in their life that a false prophet told them. Somebody lays hands on me and gives me a prophecy, I just say to myself, okay, if it's true, it'll come to pass. If it doesn't, that guy's a false prophet. That's all he is. I don't get motivated by that. If it happens, it happens. But let's pray before the Lord right now. And even if things are going good in your life, there's many in your family that we need to pray for them.
Yes.
We need to pray for brothers and sisters that are being deceived right now by false teachings and false prophets. Whether they're small churches, large churches, doesn't make any difference. If there's somebody, we need to be out warning people what the Word says. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And we're calling up on you as a congregation right now that the Holy Spirit will open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to look at and to listen to people who are teaching us and leading us. And if they're not doing it according to your word and it doesn't line up to your word, they are to be called out as false prophets and false teachers. And maybe some may not even be doing it on purpose, but they need to be corrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us, protect us in these hours that we're living right now from deception, from these multitudes and multitudes of false teachers and prophets that are swarming our nation right now in churches and on the media. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our spiritual eyes and ears to be aware of it, to protect our homes, our spiritual life, that we can go out and say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Father, if somebody walks up to me and say, Christians don't have to repent, I will say to them, thus saith the Lord, except thou repent, you shall perish. Let your presence permeate our very thoughts right now, Father. Because you do it out of love. You warned us of all these false prophets because your love for your people. But you cried. I heard your cry when I read it, Lord. You said, even so, my people loved it. And that must be breaking your heart, Lord. So, Father, I'm asking that people watching by Facebook and congregation here at Crossfire, help us to be a people, Father, that will stay in your word and be led of your Holy Spirit and to preach the truth of your word. I pray that and I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And now, some people, if you would like, before we dismiss this morning, and you need any kind of prayer, I just want you to come up before you leave and we'll pray with you. I'm going to have Paul and Fred and Mark, if you want, Rick, and you want to, and any ladies, too, if we have ladies come up. If you need prayer this morning, I want you to come up. If you have a question, if you want to ask, how do you be saved, come on up here. We don't want to hold you long. This won't take long, but we want to pray for people.